Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Wednesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Wednesdays mean the Herd is brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Be a sub above. For many of you who don't get up super early, you don't know what Joy Taylor has transformed herself. She was on television about 6 hours ago. My God.
Yeah, I got a crisp 1:55 a.m. alarm.
Oh, my God.
And dared to get on Zoom at 2 a.m. as well.
I can't do
so, which I thought was very interesting considering Kevin Wilds and Brandon Marshall did not have their cameras on.
You did.
I did. I went for it. But no, did first things first this morning. Thanks, guys, for having me. It was a good time.
Yeah, you look fantastic. So I would not after an hour sleep. So, you know, I like anonymous quotes. Because and the public does not like anonymous quotes. I want to know who said it. But the reality is people don't want to get fired. And with social media these days, you can say something that's innocuous, that is harmless, and get called out and lose your job. So anonymous quotes are hugely important, have never been more important, and social media has made them sometimes not only just, but the only way to get stuff. I say stuff all the time on this show, and what do I say? So an executive told me, there's a reason guys don't want their name out there, you know, and there's a reason they talk to me because a lot of guys want their message out there. So I never buy into the you can't use anonymous quotes. That's where you get 90% of your great crap. 90% of the good stuff I get is somebody that'll tell me something. I'm on my phone all the time, but they just don't want it out there, and they know they can trust me. Joy has the same kind of sources. So Bruce Feldman went out and wrote, he downloaded it a couple hours ago. Very interesting, or I did. He went and talked to two dozen scouts and coaches on these quarterbacks. And they've got great quotes on all of them. So I'm going to give you some I agree with, some I don't agree with. But I will tell you this. Now I believe Mac Jones is going to the 49ers at third. Because there's one thing said that's fascinating by multiple people. So let's start with the quotes. First, there's Trevor Lawrence. Here's the quote that jumped out to me. Said an anonymous scout, no-brainer top guy. I was trying to be critical, not just go with the flow. The more you study him and the other guys, he's the best by a wide margin. I agree with that. I think everybody else is a prospect. He's a prodigy, very LeBron-like. Then there's Zach Wilson, seen as the number two pick of the Jets. Said anonymous quarterback coaches, I definitely have concerns about the level of competition. He's not playing against an SEC defensive front or even Pac-12 or Big 12. Love the talent. There's a lot of risk there to me. You're watching him going, don't throw it, don't throw it. And then he does make plays. He's crazy on the field with his decisions. Another coach went on to say regarding Zach Wilson, he's really good, but the bad is really, really bad. By the way, sounds a little like Sam Darnold, right? Didn't they just get rid of him? And when he goes to a bad team like the Jets and he's trying to win games, big concerns. I see a lot of, why would you even try that? I'd bet it doesn't work out with him. And unlike Trey Lance and Justin Fields, at least they're 6'4", 230 and can run. By the way, I do think Zach Wilson has the highest bust potential. Now we go to a third quarterback, a quarterback I actually know a little bit of, met a couple of times, Trey Lance, says an anonymous quarterback coach. Several coaches actually said this. Tough evaluation, maturity A+, football IQ A+, team guy, very self-aware. He just needs to play more. To me, he has the biggest upside of anybody in the draft. This is what I believe. I think he has to sit a year, but I think he and Trevor Lawrence are really the eye-popping talents. I said this a year ago when I saw his tape. I said, he doesn't even look like any of the other players. Then there's Justin Fields. A lot of people are critical of Justin. I love the guy, but if he has to play this year, said a scout, that is scary. I have him rated fifth among the quarterbacks. Super efficient, very productive, 6'3", runs a 4.4. I'm not sure he sees the field that well. I may disagree, but there's a lot of criticism with him with scouts. They worry a lot about, and I hear this a lot, seeing the field, blah, 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 whatever. And then there's Mac Jones, and this is where it gets interesting. So everybody knows he's got an athletic ceiling. But this is what they're saying. And it all kind of is on the same thing. I am driving the bandwagon. I noticed something last year after Tua got hurt and Mac went in. They stopped running RPOs and started calling drop back stuff, pro stuff. I was like, oh, they trust him. But he's more than just that. I think he's the best thrower of the football by a lot. Other coaches go on to say anonymously, if I had to win right now, this year, he's the most advanced now of any of them. He's going to walk in day one, just flip terminology because he knows pro football because he was coached by a pro football guy, Sark. This is where it's really interesting. Another said, are Mac Jones' physical tools worthy of being a top five pick or even a first rounder? I don't know. But if you tell me I have to win now, I think the physicals are good enough. I mean, the kid had four picks, completed 77% in a pro system. Who does that against top college competition? So this is where it's interesting. So I've told you, I believe whoever goes to the Niners, whoever it is, will succeed. I think Trevor Lawrence and whoever goes to the Niners will succeed. I know I'm going to lose the Mac Jones argument initially. He's going to the most proven head coach and the win now roster. It's a Super Bowl roster. So I know whoever goes there is going to win now. And Mac Jones, I believe, is going to go there. My question's always been, the NFL's not about winning games. We would love Kirk Cousins if it was just about winning games. Tua had a better winning percentage last year, 6-3, than Justin Herbert, 6-9. It's not about winning games. It's about winning big games. That's why we roll our eyes at Mitch Trubisky, who, by the way, I'm not joking, look it up, has a better winning percentage today than Deshaun Watson. And they were drafted in the same class. It's not about winning games. It's about winning big. Kyle Shanahan's not about winning games. That's not it. So I think what will happen is initially the reaction for Mac Jones will be, hey, Coward, told you he could win. And then eventually the reaction will be, yeah, but there's a ceiling. He is Kirk Cousins. There's a ceiling. Now, but here's where I believe we have an official draft pick, Mac Jones to the Niners. So all those scouts are essentially saying the same thing. He's ready now. He's ready to play now. He comes out of an NFL coach, Saban, NFL coordinator, Sark, NFL wide receivers, NFL offensive linemen, in the best conference in football. He's closest to winning now. And winning now is very important. Kyle Shanahan has been a head coach for 4 years. He has one winning season. He's got to win now. He's got to win now. Well, the ceiling. Well, this is a guy that says, listen, Kyle Shanahan's world. He's saying to himself, I beat Sean McVay with backups. I got to a Super Bowl the 1 year my quarterback was just standing up. I want to win now. I got to a Super Bowl and led Mahomes in the fourth quarter with Jimmy Garoppolo. This, all these quotes, it becomes very clear. Kyle Shanahan needs to win now, has to win now. Mac Jones can win now. He probably knows watching Trey Lance. He's got a higher ceiling. But he's probably saying he hasn't played the competition. He didn't have a pro coordinator. He didn't have a pro head coach. He didn't play at a conference against pros at Georgia and Auburn, LSU. So Kyle Shanahan's world is, the 1 year I had a quarterback who was upright, I led in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, hell, I'm beating Sean McVay with backups. Just give me a guy that can win now. This guy can win now. Also, what is the other element of San Francisco that's real? They're going to move off Garoppolo. You can't move off Garoppolo if you get Trey Lance. You may look at Justin Fields and say, I could move off Garoppolo, but probably a year in. If Mac Jones can win now, NFL coordinator in college, NFL head coach, NFL receivers, NFL defenses, SEC, if he's ready to win now, I could move Garoppolo in a week. I could move Garoppolo at the trading deadline and get back picks.
Well, I mean, what would you get?
I don't know. Sam Darnold got 3 picks. You don't think Garoppolo's going to get picks? So maybe Shanahan's saying, hey, yeah, guys like Coward are crushing me. I gave up the picks, but I'm going to get picks back when I move Garoppolo. Maybe I do it before the draft to a team like Washington, Chicago, or maybe we play Garoppolo 6 or 7 games, cross your fingers on his health. We're 5-1, we're 6-0, 5-1, and I can move him. Darnold got 3 picks. If he's 6-1, looks good, and is healthy, people forget a lot of stuff in this league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So James Harden suffered a setback in his rehab, and he's out indefinitely, which is, I thought the whole thing was a ruse. So apparently he did have a sore hamstring. It's a setback. They don't know when he's going to play. He'll play in the playoffs. They're not sure. It is remarkable, though. He will have played, so far this year, he's played more games with the Rockets, 8, than he has with KD and Kyrie, 7. Good luck with that chemistry in the playoffs. Very difficult to solve your issues or create chemistry against the best teams. All super teams, when you have 3 of the top 4 offensive players in the league, it's a super team. They've all got a little villain in them. And I like villains. I'm for super teams. And I find them all likable. Nobody wanted to admit it, but a lot of us were rooting for the Miami Heat. I wanted to see LeBron win a title. They were fun. I love D-Wade. This team, this super team, this villain, I want to see him die on the screen. I'll be honest with you. I don't find him at all likable. So you go back to Miami. Let's be honest about it. Everybody likes D-Wade. He's one of the most likable guys, small school, worked his butt off, likable. Chris Bosh, we all felt, honestly, didn't we all feel like he was wasting his time in Canada? And then LeBron, believe it or not, his press conference didn't offend all of us, half the country maybe. I was rooting for Miami. I watched every playoff. I stayed up and watched every playoff game over at Miami. They were the Shaq and Kobe 15 years later. They were fascinating. Golden State, well, they were built through the draft. They won a title without KD. Steph and Clay were overlooked by teams. Draymond was overlooked. They were built through the draft. And then they won another 2 titles, adding KD. But they also had sort of a best team ever argument. We always like history. You like history. I like history. It's like Kansas City, Mahomes. Are we watching history? Is the most talented quarterback ever? We all kind of fall for that. The San Antonio dynasty. It wasn't unlikable. It was just boring. It wasn't unlikable. Shaq and Kobe. It was the 2 best closers in the NBA have never played on the same team. They did. It was the great young center and the next MJ. Don't tell me you didn't like the Lakers. That was a fascinating dynasty. This isn't likable. What's likable about this? First of all, they're all bailers. Basically, James Harden quit on Houston. He bailed. Kyrie quit on LeBron and Brad Stevens. KD, I support leaving Westbrook. Totally do. I mean, Westbrook is just lives in a tunnel, and the organization was babying Westbrook. I got him leaving Westbrook, KD. But leaving Golden State, good God, it was the most supportive place he could have been. The owner was sliding him into tech investments. The coach, the GM, Steph is the most selfless star of my life. And I'm a supporter of bailing. Anthony Davis, New Orleans. I got it. It was time. LeBron twice in Cleveland. I get it. Go. Matt Stafford, Lions. I get bailing. But these guys bailed pretty good situations. I don't find them remotely likable. None of them have ever really been culture setters. They've been almost, if not agnostic toward that, kind of culture imploders. I mean, James Harden had Chris Paul. Chris Paul makes everybody better. Couldn't get along with him. Oh, he's best friends with Westbrook. Couldn't get along with him. Kevin Durant couldn't get along with Steph. How? So, you know, I look at this villain and I don't, and I'll tell you, a lot of those Eastern teams they play with, I think match up really well with them. They have no answer for Joel Embiid or Giannis. I gotta be honest with you, the way the Knicks play defense, I think they'd be a little bit of a pain in the butt because the Knicks have one thing, chemistry. The Knicks have great chemistry right now. So it's just, when I look at this now, I look at this team, they're starting to really remind me of the Phoenix Suns with Nash. They're just built for the part of the NBA season that nobody ever talks about 10 years from now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I'm going to give you, based on the Athletic article, which does make it sound Shanahan's taken Mac Jones. He can help him now. So here is my mock draft today with one major trade. And I'm going to talk you through why I see this. So, okay, we start with number one, Trevor Lawrence, only quarterback, Pro Football Focus in the college football era who has graded over 90 freshman, sophomore, junior years. Let's not argue about it, waste any time. Trevor Lawrence, Jags, we all know it. He's already giving to charities in Jacksonville. It's over. He's number one. Zach Wilson, Jets. This has been set in stone. He sounds a lot like Darnold to me, but not as big. Big risk taker. I think he has big bust potential, but they like him. They need a quarterback. They made a decision. We're moving off Darnold. We don't want to have to pay our quarterback for 4 years. I get it. That's a huge advantage for front offices when you don't pay a quarterback anything, and it was about time to pay Darnold. Zach Wilson to Jets. Okay, I'm predicting what's going to happen. I'm not saying I do all of this. Okay, this is what I think is going to happen. This is not me. This is what I believe is going to happen. I'm predicting what I think is going to happen. Mac Jones, Niners, third. Why? He can win now. He's ready to win now. He's got a lower ceiling. I see a lot of red flags. But Kyle Shanahan has been in this league 4 years. He's had one winning season. And he's saying, I'm beating Sean McVay with backups. The only time I had a healthy quarterback, I got to the Super Bowl. Just give me a guy that can stand up. Also, they have a Jimmy Garoppolo issue. If Mac Jones can play now, which scouts say, you can move off Garoppolo. You can't if you draft Trey Lance or maybe Justin Fields. You can't move off of Garoppolo. I think they can move off Garoppolo at the trading deadline in October. Mac Jones, third. All right. I have gone back and forth on this. What I would do is draft Kyle Pitts. I think Atlanta's got to struggle. The GM wants Trey Lance. The coach wants Kyle Pitts. But here's where I fall on this. I said this yesterday. Drafting Trey Lance, a great prospect, is problematic because he does everything that Matt Ryan doesn't do. Huge arm, wildly athletic. And when he's playing in the preseason and he looks great and Atlanta goes on a three-game losing streak because it's Atlanta and they always do, it's going to be so hard for 2 years not to play him and you're stuck with Matt Ryan's huge contract. You cannot draft a quarterback as talented as Trey Lance, play him in preseason, play him in blowouts. He does the opposite of what Matt Ryan can't, which is he's lost his arm, he can't move around. I think it's so problematic. They don't need him. And you're going to get rid of Matt Ryan? You've just seen his contract? It's bad this year. It's awful next year. You got to swallow all that. They take Kyle Pitts. Okay, now it's Cincinnati 5, Miami 6. I think there's two players that are going to get drafted. I'm not sure where they're going to go. I believe Cincinnati is going to take Rashawn Slater, and here's why. If Joe Burrow would not have been hurt, you would take Ja'Marr Chase and say, I got T. Higgins one side, Ja'Marr Chase the other. The minute Burrow gets hurt, now there's going to be second guessing if you go wide receiver because you've already got a wide receiver. And remember, 3-year starter at Northwestern, didn't allow a sack, super high IQ, Jonah Williams, they already have a left tackle. He's in the Big Ten footprint. The fans would love this. He's a Big Ten football player in Ohio's Big Ten country. I think they get Rashawn Slater, and this will have ramifications later. Stay tuned. Number 6, Miami. I think if Ja'Marr Chase goes to Cincinnati, they'll take Slater because they've got Austin Jackson left tackle. So my feeling with Miami is Cincinnati will depend who they take. If they take Slater, they'll go Ja'Marr Chase. They already added Will Fuller, but he can't stay healthy. Devontae Parker. So this is just another weapon. I think Miami likes Kyle Pitts, but they're playing the draft manipulation draft pick game. They're not going to give picks away that they already garnered. So I think they go Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is a home run. And again, Tua's going to win some games. This offense now and this coaching staff and special teams are getting better. Number 7. I have no idea what Detroit's doing. They need everything. I do not believe they're going to take a quarterback. So let me explain this. So Trey Lance and Justin Fields are out there right now available. Denver doesn't need to trade up. Why? Because Denver, according to reports, likes both of them. and they're going to play Drew Lock to start the season. They don't have to trade up. There's no reason to give away three first-round picks. So I think Detroit's going to look at this and go, listen, we got Jared Goff. We got this deal. We have not had a Pro Bowl offensive lineman in Detroit in 21 years. Okay? They've had one in 21 years, excuse me, TJ Lang. Goff is not a guy that throws well under duress. And I think Detroit's scouting department says Penei Sewell is the highest graded guy on our board. We got to protect this kid. Penei Sewell, you know, he's the best left tackle. A year ago, we talked about it. And I think Detroit needs everybody. But they take Kyle Pitts gone. They're not going to take a quarterback. They would have taken Slater. He's gone. So he's just going to be such a highly graded player at a position of need. Sometimes you're just like, it's stupid not to take him. Now I think there's a trade. Denver again doesn't have to move up because Denver likes both the quarterbacks and is not going to ask either one of them to play at least for the first couple months of this year. Drew Lock will. New England now has their eye on one of these two. So I believe New England wanted Mac Jones, can't get him for what their system is. They're going to go Trey Lance. Perfect, because Cam's going to start for this year. They do not need to start a quarterback. They put Trey Lance. First of all you're hearing about him is maturity. It's all the stuff Belichick loves. Maturity, huge IQ, total selfless team guy. I mean, you go read these quotes. Everybody says the same thing. He's so New England. Mac Jones and Trey Lance feel like New England. And New England now, unlike Denver, I believe has two quarterbacks they like. One, Mac, is off the board. They move up with Carolina. Now, why would Carolina move down? Because Carolina needs a corner. You can move down to 15 and get a great corner. It's a great corner draft. And they need a left tackle. There's about six in this draft. And Carolina's like, well, the guys we like, Slater and Penei Sewell, are gone. So why not move down? So if both those tackles are gone, I'm Carolina. I'm going to move down to 15, trade with New England. They take Trey Lance. Denver, who would have taken Trey Lance or Justin Fields, doesn't have to give up picks and says, we'll take Justin Fields. Have him sit for at least to the trading deadline with Drew Lock, or sit for the whole year. What do we care? It's a new GM. He's not going to get fired. Drew Lock can go 7-10. You're not going to get fired. You develop Justin Fields. You got John Elway in the building. It feels right. And number 10, an unbelievable talent. Two GMs in the NFL have told me they think he will be the steal of the draft. The Dallas Cowboys need a corner badly. J.C. Horn, 3-year starter. He is tough. He's got a little keep to lead. He'll bang you on the run game. He is hyper-aggressive. You know, dad was a great pro football player. Big games, Auburn game last year, big games. He's a great player. And I think I just think everybody I know loves this kid. So that's my mock draft.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joel Klatt now joining us. Well, there's a lot to unpack there. Holy moly.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad.
All right, what did you make of, was there anything in there that you really agreed with or didn't?
No, listen, like I said, that was all very reasoned. I think the one that I'm having trouble with is if Atlanta decides not to take a quarterback because of the reasons you outlined, right? You don't want to take a guy that everyone's going to be screaming for and you have no ability to get out from under Matt Ryan, right? I think that's logical. Having said that, they've got cap problems outside of Matt Ryan, right? Like their cap is destroyed the next couple of years. I think that the fastest way to get out of a cap situation is to get more picks. So I think that they might actually value dropping down a little bit, which means that I think that a quarterback, regardless of if it's Atlanta or not, is going to go 4, which then triggers Denver to go up to 6 to Miami. That's something that I could see happening. If a quarterback goes 4, or if one of the other quarterbacks, not Mac Jones, goes 3, then you're going to see, like, I see some real fireworks, in particular Denver at 9, knowing that they're going to have to go up to try to get the Drew Lock replacement.
I think you and I agree on Mac Jones. We there's stuff we see a more Kirk Cousins, and that's a lot of picks to give up. But it is interesting. I thought about this as I read the Athletic article by Bruce Feldman. If you take Mac Jones, that means you're telling everybody in the building, we think he's ready to play now, which means Garoppolo could be expendable very quickly, either before the draft or after the draft, or by the trading deadline. And I could recoup some of my picks trading Garoppolo if he tears it up for 7 or 8 weeks. I am coming, though I have my reservations with Mac Jones, I do feel this morning San Francisco's taking him. I don't think Kyle Shanahan wants to develop another guy.
Yeah, I think, listen, I don't know what they're going to do, right? But he's not the best quarterback at 3 if Lance, Fields, and him are all available. He might be the most ready, okay? But he wouldn't be the best. And I think that you would have to wrap your arms around that. He's kind of a poor man's Joe Burrow. If you take Joe Burrow and you rank him in all the different categories, then Mac Jones would be like a step or two behind him in every single category, from athleticism to off the field to accuracy to arm strength, everything, right? But he is an unbelievable anticipatory thrower. He throws with great touch, and he operated a system that was not all that dissimilar to what Kyle Shanahan wants to run. Remember, Steve Sarkisian also has his roots. He cut his teeth in that West Coast system, a number of different formations, understanding how to get playmakers the ball from everywhere on the field. Remember how differently they used Devontae Smith from snap to snap. This is the type of creativity that Kyle Shanahan has. So he's like you're talking about, and I'm backing this up. He sees Mac as a more plug and play player that can go out there and handle it right now. But I will not pound the table, but I'm just telling you, he's not the best prospect there if they take him.
No, I think we both agree. We all know at least one of these quarterbacks is not going to work. But nobody, I don't want to go out if Zach Wilson's parents are watching and say, that guy's a bust. But I got to tell you, you start looking around and I start reading all these anonymous quarterback scouts, rookie coach, wacky owner, bad O-line, team's history, face Belichick and McDermott twice a year each, and Brian Flores. I do think Zach Wilson has big ceiling, low floor. Is that fair?
That's probably fair. And you know, to be honest, I don't know who I would take if Darnold coming out of college was coming out of college right now. If you just evaluated them as prospects, you know, which is the better prospect? Now, we have a few years, and it's like, well, was Darnold a failure or was that organization a failure? Like, let's be honest. Because as you're talking about, fit has so much to do with this. And these quarterbacks taken up there, they're going into very difficult situations to have success earlier in their career. Now, Wilson's a phenomenal player, phenomenal player. I love his game. His ability to create velocity and accuracy off platform is uncanny. You just don't see a guy that can throw the football like this come along, every now and and again. He's kind of a unicorn in that respect. But to your point, you know, is he going to go in and immediately make the New York Jets better? I don't know. I mean, he raised his completion percentage 11% from 2019 to 2020. Why is that worrisome? One, it speaks to kind of a 1 year where you're really excelling. And two, in that year, in 2020, they didn't play a Power 5 opponent.
That's right.
So, you know, again, fabulous player. I understand why he would be selected up there. But I think that low floor, high ceiling is an apt description.
Yeah, that's a really fascinating stat. He literally changed his accuracy in 1 year of college football. Shocker. It was the year BYU, because of the pandemic, didn't play anybody. And then all of a sudden he was great. First, I saw him the first 2 years.
And he did, by the way, he did, I don't want to just say it, he did get healthy, right? Like he had some injuries that were going on, his hand, his shoulder, that affected him. I'm just to be fair, right? I mean.
Yeah, yeah. We're all about fairness here and Big J journalism. All right, Devontae Smith, wide receiver. Somebody's going to drop in this draft, and quarterback's too valuable to drop, even if Trey Lance is a, you know, needs to sit for a year. The two offensive linemen are both grade incredibly high. There's not a ton of defensive players, but there's a lot of wide receivers, a lot of them. And Devontae Smith, it's official, is 6 feet tall and 165 pounds. That feels like to me, this is the drop guy that you could talk yourself out of him and say a lot of teams could go, what the hell? I can get a receiver later in the draft. There's too much risk here. Your kind of takeaway in his size and that thought.
Great question. Let me start by saying I believe his success will 100% be tied to the ability of the offensive coordinator and play caller to have the creative vision to utilize Devontae Smith properly. Okay, so I don't want to knock him because, again, like, he can do it. But if, and this is where NFL guys drive me nuts, right? Like, their hubris is insane. You know it's true, by the way. And a lot of them watch you. And you guys are sitting in your office right now, and you know it's true. Your egos are out of control. And if you're sitting in your office right now and you're thinking to yourself like, well, great, he's, you know, I'm going to take him and, you know, I can make him just kind of a standalone outside wide receiver, then he's going to fail. And it's not his fault, it's yours. Okay, because if you use him properly, the way that he was utilized at Alabama, then he can be a game-changing threat, regardless of if he's 165 pounds or develops to 170 or 175. And the reason, Colin, is if you look at the way he was utilized at Alabama, Steve Sarkisian never let him just sit in one place static from snap to snap. He was in the slot. He was off the line of scrimmage. He was in motion. He was motioning across the ball. He was in return motion, going back to the same side. They were getting him the ball on jet sweeps, bubble screens, down the slot, in the middle of the field, across the middle of the field, in play action and drop back, every possible scenario. That's where he was utilized, I thought, to maximize his potential. If an NFL play caller and offensive coordinator has that vision and that plan for Devontae Smith, then you shouldn't be worried about his frame. But if you're going to sit there and have the hubris to just say he's going to be an outside wide receiver because that's what I've done my entire career, then he's going to fail, and it's not his problem, it's yours.
Very good stuff. Commendable job today. Even you were kind of impressed with my reasoning in the mock draft. It felt like you wanted to whack away at me, whack-a-mole, and you were kind of like, maybe Coward kind of got some of it right.
I mean, it was okay. It was okay. It was okay. I love J.C. Horn, but the safest corner is Patrick Surtain, and the best corner is actually Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. But they all love Horn because he's got the upside of Farley without the back surgery history. Caleb Farley had two microdiscectomy back surgeries in the, you know, fairly recently. So, but to your point about you can find a corner later, you're going to be able to find a corner a little bit later because of the way these players are going to fall.
Yeah. All right, Clatster. Good stuff. Good talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, you as well. Have a good weekend.